Now, in today's Gemara, we had a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer, who says a sukkah gezula is pasul, whereas the Chachamim say even a sukkah gezula is kosher. Gemara concludes that, of course, if it's a really stolen sukkah, even the Rabban would say pasul. Rashi brought an example of a sukkah which was on top of a ship. So the sukkah was actually stolen. In that case, even the Rabban would say it's pasul. We were speaking about a sukkah mechaberes lekarka, which is not really considered a stolen sukkah, just a borrowed sukkah. Sukkah she'ula, according to Chachamim, is kosher. So bottom line is that if it's a stolen sukkah, according to all shittas, it's pasul. Why? Pasuk says, Chag ha'sukkah is tasal l'cha. Shiva song. We had this back on the Chav Zayin on the base. Right? So l'cha tells you that it cannot be stolen. Even the Chachamim agree, stolen sukkah is pasul. Regarding a sukkah she'ula, Rabbi Eliezer says, it's not lecha, it's not yours, it's not your possession, it's not a sukkah kshera. Whereas the Rabbanan say, borrow, that's fine, it doesn't have to be yours. Now the kasha is, they're both basing their halacha on the same word. Not only the same pasuk, the same word. And even the Chacham agreed to the drasha somewhat. Guzzle is pasul. So how do you explain this discrepancy, this difference in approach between Rabbi Eliezer says, well, l'cha means yours. Neither stolen nor borrowed. Whereas the Chachamim stop and say, well, stolen not, but borrowed is okay. Say the Mefarshim. If we take a closer look back on Chav Zayin, we'll see another interesting thing. Rabbi Eliezer says, it needs to be one and the same sukkah throughout all 7 days of Yom Tov. A, you can't build a sukkah on Yom Tov. It had to have been constructed for a 7-day dira use. And number two, you personally can't transfer from one sukkah to the other. So it's on account of the sukkah itself. It has to be prepared for a 7-day dwelling. Whereas, as far as the adam, the person as well, there's a 7-day dira requirement. You have to sit in the same sukkah for 7 days. That's Rabbi Eliezer's shita. The Chacham disagree, right? They hold Chag ha-sukkah is tasal l'cha, indicates you can actually build a sukkah on Yom Tov itself. There's no din to have a sukkah prepared for a continuous, uninterrupted 7-day dira. So it turns out that the din, according to Blazer, is that the sukkah has to be prepared, constructed in advance for a dira of 7 days. So now we can understand very well why, according to Blazer, has to be yours. It has to be prepared for your 7-day dwelling. If it's not your sukkah, whether it's because it's stolen or borrowed, this sukkah was not prepared in advance for your dira. It was prepared for the other fellow, for its rightful owner. You can't use such a sukkah, right? According to Rabbi Eliezer, it needs to be a sukkah shivas yom, prepared for a 7-day use. Your 7-day use. Not your victims. Not the fellow who lent you the sukkah. And therefore, the two things go hand in hand. That leads Rabbi Eliezer to darshan the pasuk the way he did. You see, Tosfos brings many times that we find machlokes which are based on drushes, but really the underlying background is really svaris, which drive, which influence the way the Tanaim would look at the psukim, right? So here we see that Rabbi Eliezer is consistent in going with this approach. It needs to be a sukkah designated for a 7-day dira. For your 7-day dira. So it can't be somebody else's sukkah. Whereas the Chacham hold that there's no such halacha. If you can go from one sukkah to the other, there's no din that the sukkah has to be prepared in advance for a 7-day dira. So just as you can go from one sukkah to the other, you can use your friend's sukkah as well. That's why borrowed is fine. By gozel, that's different. You see, borrowed is just lacking that element which the Rabbanan don't require. Lacking that designation. But when it comes to stolen, that the Torah was memait, you're actually using somebody else's, you're sitting in a sukkah which you're not authorized to sit in, that's already in the negative, that's in the red. So that the Torah was memait. So bottom line is a sukkah gzula, according to all shittas, is possible, but a sheula, Rav Eliezer says, it's not designated for your person, it's not for your dira, that's also included in lecha, it's not yours. Whereas a chama maintained stolen is possible, but sheula, as long as it's a kosher sukkah, even if it's not meant for you, you have permission to sit there, you're yaitzeh. That's one topic. Let's move on to the concept of Hadar. We have another machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Chacham maintain whether it's a lulav or it's an esrog, it needs to be Hadar. It's dried out, it's pasul. Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Maskaras HaGemara, does not agree, does not hold of Hadar. Why? Pasuk says, creates Hadar. Hadar bi lana mishana lashana. It simply means a fruit which lingers on, which stays on its tree from one year to the next. Now, l'chair it's shver, tzarech in. Why would Rabbi Yehuda sort of deviate from the plain and simple meaning of the pasuk? Creates Hadar, beautiful fruit. Why would he prefer interpreting Hadar the way he does it, rather than just applying the concept of Hadar the way the Rabban applied? Beautiful, pretty. Hey, the mitzvah. Let's backtrack a second. Let's go back to the first Mishnah. We had a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Mishnah says, Lulav ha-gazal yavish is pasul. Rashi says, you know why yavish is pasul? The be'ina mitzvah muhuderes. It says, zeh keli v'anveu. You need to have a beautiful mitzvah. Tosfos asks, since when is zeh keli v'anveu something which disqualifies a mitzvah? We only find it as a l'chatchila. It's nice to have a beautiful mitzvah, but it never disqualifies a mitzvah. Why is yavish pasul? So Tosfos learns, you're right. We're not speaking about zeh keli v'anveu, which is a general principle. The halacha is based on the word hadar, which is found in the pasuk of the Arba Minim, creates hadar. So this halacha is ma'akev, right? It's a requirement in the dalad minim, the lulav, and the hesrog, etc. So we have a kash on Rashi. Right? Zekeli ma'aveu is generally not something which is ma'akev. Why would Rashi apply it here? Why would it be ma'akev in this case? And really, we have a tzorach in on Tosis as well, because this is something unique. We never find that there is a hadar requirement anywhere else in the Torah. So if we ask, why? Is there any way to explain what's unique about mitzvah lulav and esrog that the Torah would stipulate that hadar is a precondition? So I'm just thinking, perhaps you can say that, you see, in contrast to other mitzvahs, which are man-made mitzvahs, let's take, for example, a tefillin. You fashion the tefillin. There's input, there's investment. Matzah, you bake the matzah. All the mitzvahs are generally man-made items. And that's considered your personal preparation. You're preparing that chafetz for the mitzvah which will be performed by that person using that chafetz. So in that case, just the mere, you know, physical preparation suffices. You prepare a chafetz for a mitzvah. When it comes to the dal minim, it's different. What are you doing? You're just picking a fruit off a tree, taking a branch off a tree. There's no real personal element there. There's no tfisasi de adam. There's not much input there. Here the Torah tells you. You know what's your input. You know how you invest. By choosing the good one. Priyates hadar. The hidr. That's the mass of the gavur. That's where the personal element comes to play. And therefore in this case, hadar is needed to generate that chevet shal mitzvah. It's now a maasei the adam. You chose a nice one. And in this case, unlike anywhere else in the Torah, in this case, hadar is ma'akev. Oh. So perhaps that's what Rashi meant as well. You're right. Typically speaking, zekeli v'anveu is a nice thing, but it's not ma'akev. When it comes to dalad minim, we find the word priates hadar. Rashi learned, it's not a new chiv, it's not a new concept. It's that same old concept of zeh keli v'anveu. You're meant to beautify yourself, meant to present yourself with noy and yoifi to Hashem. So although generally it's not mi'akiv. But in this case where all you have, your whole personal input amounts to just picking the right fruit. In this case, the Torah says zeh keli v'anveu is something absolute and is mi'akiv. Otherwise, you haven't really created a chevet shal mitzvah for your ma'asa mitzvah. Now, listen to this. This works well according to the Rabbanon. They hold hadar is ma'akev. Hadar is a requirement. Specifically by lulav and esrog, as we just explained. But according to Yehuda, who holds lulav tzarech agad, there you go. There's your personal involvement. There's your input. There's your effort and investment. You're contributing by binding it together, by creating this new entity. According to Yehuda, mitzvah lulav now is no different than any other mitzvah. It's true. It's a branch, it's a fruit, but you're going ahead and you're creating it, you're binding it. You're creating a new entity, which involves personal effort and investment. There's your input. So now it's like any other chayvet shel mitzvah, like tefillin, like matzah. True, it's nice to have a zekel v'aveu, but you can't say it's ma'akev, and therefore, this svara led him to learn the pasuk differently. Why would you say that hadar means that hidr is ma'akev more than any other mitzvah? This is also a man-made mitzvah. So he was forced to learn the pasuk differently. Instead of learning hadar means hidr, and that's ma'akev, no. Hidr is a nice thing, it's not ma'akev. Zekel v'aveu, like any other mitzvah. Rather, hadar means hadar b'ilonei mishana l'shana.